Serial, one story told week by week. I'm Sarah Koenig. Remember how last time I ended by saying that the detectives had other leads in this case besides Mr. S, the guy who found Hay's body, that they were also starting to look at Adnan? Well, the reason we know that is because of this memo.
The memo was dated 12 February 1999 from Detective Daryl Massey to Detective Greg McGillivray.
This memo he's talking about is regarding an anonymous call. That's Detective Ritz on the witness stand at trial.
That is Serial, maybe you recognize it. Season 1, Episode 4, that's a podcast often dedicated to true crime. It's a genre that is extremely popular right now. There are endless podcasts out there, docuseries, movies, television shows. Just take a look at Netflix. Just opened it up today. Here are some big TV shows and things that you can stream right now. Monster, The Jeffrey Dahmer Story, Killer Inside, The Mind of Aaron Hernandez, Texas Killing Fields. These are just some of the things that come up. For some people, this is relaxing. They like to sit down, pop a bowl of popcorn, and sit back and watch a show about a serial killer. And these can often be very disturbing. They can be very graphic. Of course, they're disturbing in nature, but I'm talking about the detail of these shows and what they actually put on the screen that you can see. Same goes for the podcasts that can tell the disturbing tales of a murder. True crime sells. But the question is it ethical? And I want to welcome my guest right now, Bobby Miller, who has spent a great deal of time thinking about this. Bobby is an entertainment expert and the host of the entertainment podcast, The Afternoon Special. Hi, Bobby.
Hi, how's it going?
Pretty good. How about you?
I'm doing well, doing well.
What got you so interested in thinking about this?
I would say I'm kind of a reformed true crime fan myself. A couple of years ago, I found myself kind of in the mix of the craze of it all, watching documentaries, like perusing podcasts. And then I think I hit a point where I was just like, something about this doesn't feel super duper right. And like in the past couple of years, there have been a large uptick in people beginning to question the ethics of it. And I think I kind of just followed suit.
I really wonder why we're so drawn to these podcasts and shows. What was it for you?
I think it's the allure of it all, you know, like it's a very engaging story, like narratively speaking, like it makes sense why we would be enamored with true crime because it's often presented in a very engaging way. And there's something like very taboo about it also. So I think that's what really pulls us in about it. But then oftentimes I think we can forget that these are not just stories. These are like real people on the other end of these stories and like real people that are still dealing with the real impacts of these cases.
You said reformed. Do you watch or listen to any of this anymore?
Not as much. I think I haven't like quit cold turkey because I still interact with shows like, you know, like Only Murders in the Building. And like, I'm also on TikTok. And so oftentimes whatever the true crime case du jour is, like I'm often seeing content around that. But as far as like being like a true crime junkie and really just watching literally anything that I can get my hands on, I don't tend to engage in that way anymore.
I think the public, the consumers out there, TV watchers, we've always had a strong interest in justice, in crime trials. You think back to O.J. Simpson in the 1990s, how much that captivated us. Why do you feel this is different?
I think there's a way that like a lot of people who make the content have made it feel a little less different. It's a lot less clinical. You know, like most of the times with those cases, we're interacting with it via the news, which is very, you know, like very clinical. It's giving you the facts just as they're happening and or like showing footage or anything like that. And it's not presented in a fun package, whereas true crime, you can get it in so many forms. You can get it within a documentary, you can get it within a podcast, you can get it within a YouTube video. And even within those little groups, there are even these smaller like sub niches where like on, say, for instance, on YouTube, there are like makeup and murderer content creators who will tell you a murder case while they're doing their makeup. So there are a lot more appealing forms with which these cases can be told to us. And I think that's what draws people in. It's been sensationalized, I think, even more so than it was in the past.
Is there a way that you believe people could still actually watch this content or be part of it, but be more responsible about it?
For sure. I think it's just all about moderation. You know, it's like with everything, like it's like chocolate cake. Like, you're not going to have chocolate cake in large quantities every single day, all day long. But every once in a while, it's like, it's fine. It's pretty harmless. I think the best ways to engage with true crime is really to honestly just have the awareness that while it is being peddled to you as entertainment, it's not entertainment. It's something that's very real. I think that was the biggest thing with Monster on Netflix with the Jeffrey Dahmer story. The issue with it was people were not realizing that the victims' families are very much still around, very much still talking about this case and are constantly having to be faced with the impact of what this one person did to their family member. And I think a lot of people wanted to push that aside because they were so entertained. And so one way to do that is just be cognizant that there are real people on the other end of it. Also trying your best to curb your true crime media diet. So maybe not taking in things that are so sensationalized, maybe taking in more documentaries that are a little bit more straightforward and have less of an agenda to really heighten the entertainment factor associated with these cases. There are so many different ways, but I think the biggest way is just moderation.
Sometimes if it's a crime story that is unsolved, it will then spawn a tidal wave of amateur detectives. They'll go on YouTube. They'll go on TikTok. You've seen them, Bobby. And they think that they're going to be the ones to crack the case. Is there any value in that, that now there's more attention to an unsolved cold case?
There definitely is. I think there are a lot of people going to it with a very, like, very good intentions. Like, their hearts are in the right place. And there have been many instances where bringing more attention to these cold cases has allowed them to be opened back up and for more, you know, resources to be put behind it and ultimately to, like, lead to a breakthrough within the case. So not to say that those things don't happen, but when that procedure is applied to all cold cases, it can sometimes muddy the waters even more and make things even more difficult to try and, like, solve these cases. That, and I think it also opens up the door of, like, which cases are getting opened up and which ones aren't. And that is a whole other, like, can of worms. So I think while it is definitely, the intentions of it are really pure and honest, and I think it's great and it has done well in small doses, by and large, playing armchair detective can almost be a little bit more detrimental than it is, good.
That kind of brings me back to where we started our conversation today, which is Serial Season 1 with Adnan Syed, who was convicted for the murder of his high school girlfriend. And he was in prison when the podcast was actually going out in 2014. It was hosted by a journalist, Sarah Koenig. And it really dominated the podcasting world. It went beyond that, and it helped propel interest in his particular case. And eventually, just recently, he was released to home detention.
Yeah. Like, so it's definitely something that can make really great impact, especially when whoever is trying to open back up the case kind of knows what they're doing or knows how to talk about it in a way that doesn't completely, you know, leave out details, that doesn't muddy details, that doesn't, you know, basically lead detectives and law enforcement down the wrong path.
Appreciate the time today, Bobby.
This was amazing. Thank you.
Bobby Miller, who thinks a lot about true crime as somebody who used to really love the genre and is now making the case that we should be a bit more mindful that there is trauma behind these stories, that it is not just simply entertainment, and that sometimes these stories are being shared against the will of the family members that are still alive. Maybe their loved one is gone. Their loved one is the victim in the story, but they're still with us. And the criminal case isn't just entertainment, she says. Now, that's not that she's cut it out entirely, but just thinking about it in the broader picture. Chris, I never really watch a lot of this stuff. When I saw the preview for Dahmer, and I'm not being holier than now, I'm not. There's a whole bunch of stuff that I watch that is trash TV, I'm sure. But watching something about Jeffrey Dahmer, when I saw the preview, it looked really gross.
Yeah, it's I don't know how you like if it's sensationalized, then it does kind of, I don't know, it does kind of skew the story a bit, right? Because I don't know, like I like watching the another 48 hours, you know, the they have a Dateline. They usually those are usually, I find, well done.
Yeah, and that's what Colleen says on the text board. I've watched Dateline, 2020, 48 Hours, things like that for 30 years or more.
They splice in the clips, you know, and
I
footage.
Think that's a little bit more tastefully done.
Right.
It's a bit more factual, and it is captivating to learn about these things. It's human nature, as Bobby was saying, to be curious. I think there's a difference between that, as Colleen is pointing out, between what becomes kind of like violent porn, murder porn. Where it's very, very graphic and it's very disturbing. It goes beyond 2020 or 48 hours or Dateline. And Colleen was saying that some of these programs or some of these previews are really haunting when you look at them. I can't imagine being a family member of one of the victims and then seeing this play out on Netflix and people go gaga for it.